title, I said, let's talk about Thanksgiving. I really had not brought a Thanksgiving message earlier in November, and I wanted to do that since it's really fresh on our minds over the last 3 or 4 days, and most of us did something special or went somewhere special or ate some special food. And of course, we all ate too much. I know I did. And I suffered for it that night because I had eaten so much. And it was so good. The rain has become such a good cook. But Thanksgiving is not just Lorraine, it's Brad and Lorraine. They work as a team in preparing the Thanksgiving meal. They both have their assignments, they do their work, and it comes out and the team works. And so it was a delicious time. I want us to turn in our Bibles to Psalm 118. I want to read a few verses from Psalm 118, and then we'll get into the message. The title of this psalm in my Criswell Study Bible, Praise to God for His Everlasting Mercy. Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for He is good, for His mercy endures forever. Let Israel now say, His mercy endures forever. Let the house of Aaron now say, His mercy endures forever. Let those who fear the Lord now say, His mercy endures forever. I called on the Lord in distress. The Lord answered me and set me in a broad place. The Lord is on my side. I will not fear. Isn't that an interesting little phrase? The Lord is on my side. There's the question asked in the Word of God, who is on the Lord's side? And here God says, I'm on your side. The Lord is on my side, I will not fear. What can man do to me? The Lord is for me among those who help me. Therefore I shall see my desire on those who hate me. He's going to be protected. It is better to trust in the Lord than to put confidence in man. It is better to trust in the Lord than to put confidence in princes, the kings, the powerful people on earth. Better to trust God than them. And then I direct your thoughts over to the last two verses of Psalm 118. You are my God, I will praise you. You are my God, I will exalt you. Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for He is good, for His mercy endures forever. If, as someone has said, written, the giving of thanks is like a vaccine, an antitoxin, an antiseptic. What person is there that does not need such protection from spiritual infection? He who receives a benefit with gratitude, by the way, I want to back up. Lucius Seneca, was a Roman philosopher. He was in the government in the first century Rome. He said, he who receives a benefit with gratitude repays the first installment on his debt, the first thing is to be thankful. And when somebody has done us a good deed, a gracious deed, to be able to say thank you is the beginning of the payment that we owe. In the verse that is our text, the psalmist tells us several things about thanksgiving. First, he tells us its object. Oh, give thanks unto the Lord. As James tells us, every good gift and every perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of lights. James 1:17. God owns all things. Second, the psalmist tells us it's reasonable, for he is good. The abundance of his blessings flow naturally out of the graciousness of his character. It is God's character that produces abundant blessings for each of us, because that's who he is, that's what he is, that's what he does. And third, he tells us the motivation. For his mercy endureth forever. This note is sounded throughout this particular psalm. His mercy endures forever. What about thanksgiving? Gratitude, as we look back, and many tables did this. There's a time when the family, and usually it's around the table, somebody brings up, what are you thankful for? Let's go around the table and name some of the things that we are especially thankful for at this time of the year. Gratitude is a grace. A grace. A gift from God. Like all of his gifts, we can take it or leave it. We can use it or neglect it. And in this, as in all good things, we have a stewardship. We have a responsibility to take care of, to use properly. Our stewardship of thanksgiving, number one, must be constant. Constant. It must be unvarying. We should give thanks at all times, the scripture says, and under all circumstances. I read a story years ago that comes out of a Christian camp that's located in Louisiana. I think if I looked at the map right, it's on the north side of Lake Pontchartrain. It's a Christian service camp, or at least a camp where Christians come. And this particular camp had a morning watch before breakfast, not after breakfast, before breakfast. A 30-minute service before breakfast. And there was a great deal of griping and groaning, criticizing, complaining. And this particular man had been asked to lead that morning watch before breakfast. And he said, I spoke on 1 Corinthians 5:18. In everything give thanks, urging that for one day at least, we put God's word to the test, demonstrating the power of giving thanks. Maybe it was just for kicks. Kids will do things that like that sometimes, even though they don't want to. But those young people actually took up his challenge. When a table waiter brought food to the table, everybody at the table said thank you. When a speaker had brought his message, when a teacher had taught a class, when the recreational leader had led in the recreational time and so forth, the beneficiary in each of these cases said thank you. And for a day, this made that camp a place of joy. By the time of the evening meal, the whole camp was bubbly happy. Why should we not be constantly expressing our thanks to one another every day, and especially to God, many times a day? Thank you, Lord. I've misplaced something. Misplaced the checkbook. Misplaced the billfold. Couldn't find my keys. Lord, show me where they're at. When I find it, I say, thank you, Lord. I hadn't looked here. Some little something leads me to find it. I believe it's God, and I thank him. I give him the praise. In times of prosperity, we should give thanks. By and large, we are an affluent people. The bounty of our tables this past Thursday is a demonstration of that. Whether prosperity makes for good or ill depends in part upon the spirit in which we receive it. Are we thankful? God has given us this grace. Are we using it? Not only in times of prosperity, but in times of adversity, we should give thanks. Some will say, but this is hard. And that's right, it is hard. It's harder to be thankful in adversity than it is to be thankful in prosperity. But this will bless our lives as it helps us to grow to be like him. The Old Testament prophet Habakkuk, and this passage of scripture always blesses me when I learned it years and years ago, probably in senior year in college, when I was taking Hebrew history. We had to read all of the Old Testament, especially the prophetic books. And Habakkuk is one of those books. Here's what the Old Testament prophet said. It's a choice example of adversity. In the midst of desolation, he gives thanks. Listen. For though the fig tree shall not flourish, neither shall fruit be on the vines, the labor of the olive shall fail, and the fields shall yield no food, the flock shall be cut off from the fold, and there will be no herds in the stalls. Yet will I rejoice in Jehovah. I will joy in the God of my salvation. Habakkuk chapter 3, verses 17 and 18. I think those are the last verses in the book. I think that's how the book closes. That's giving thanks. The fig trees aren't yielding. There are no olives. Nothing growing in the fields. The barns, the stalls are empty. There's no animals. Yet will I rejoice in Jehovah. Friends, when you reach that point, and can do that, that is thanksgiving. That's adversity. That's adversity. The hymn that we often sing, "Now Thank We All Our God," was written when the news came that the 30-year war had ended. Now, the 30-year war goes way back to 1618 to 1648. 30 years. And even though the population had been decimated during that period of time by a terrible plague, which left scarcely a household without its dead, when our pilgrim forefathers celebrated the first Thanksgiving, they were still in dark days. About half of them had died that first year, men, women, and children. When they celebrated the first Thanksgiving, half of their population was already gone. But they gave thanks. In times of doubt, we should give thanks. This is difficult indeed, but by God's help, we can do it. No matter how dark the day or how heavy the clouds, there are some things that we know for certain. We know that high above the clouds, the sun is shining, unhindered, undimmed. For us, we know God is there. He's not dead. We know that there is one who knows the way. In his gospel, John tells us that before the feeding of the 5,000, Jesus asked Philip, "Where are you going to buy bread? How are you going to feed them, Philip?" So that all these people would have a little bit of something to eat. And John adds parenthetically, "And this he," Jesus said to prove him. For he himself knew what he would do. Jesus knew. Philip didn't know. But Jesus knew what he was going to do. Thank God for one in this universe who knows what to do. Who knows what we need to do. We know there is a way that is right and true. That is the way that will win in the end. Even in the darkest day, if we have ears to hear, we might hear his voice saying, "This is the way. Walk ye in it." I pray that prayer many times. Lord, what is the way? What is the way that we should go in this situation? What's the decision in this situation? The Lord knows. I don't. You don't. We ask him, "Lord, what is the way?" This is the way. Isaiah 30, verse 12. Secondly, our stewardship of thanksgiving must be discerning. Must be discerning. When Paul wrote to the Philippians, he said, Philippians 3:13, "Forgetting those things that are behind." He did not mean that he wanted us to forget everything. People misapply that when they read it. He's saying that our memory needs to be selective. He will not forget such things as his experience with Christ on the Damascus Road, Paul, that is. He told that story again and again as a part of his testimony. He will not forget God's help when he was in hard places in difficult circumstances, nor his guidance when he did not know which way to turn. You don't turn your brain off just because you believe in God. God gives us ideas. God leads us. His Spirit works. Like Paul, our thanksgiving must be discerning. It must be discriminating. Plug into the right things. True thanksgiving remembers the best of the past. Alexander White of Edinburgh, Scotland, was listening one day to a long list of ills by a member of his church. And as the story uses the word her, I'm assuming that he was listening to a woman. He listened to her recital of her long list of ills. And finally, when she had finished, the old preacher kindly said, "Mind you, forget not all his benefits." She had recited all of her problems, all of her aches and pains, all of her lack. He brought her back to think about the benefits. True thanksgiving sees the blessings of today, the blessings of the present. Sometimes we are so close to the present, or we're so close to the issue that we cannot see a blessing. We cannot see a way out. We cannot possibly make it the right decision. Ours is a day of uncertainty and confusion, I grant you. It's a day of war and strife and injustice and evil. Instead of bemoaning our lot, we should say, "What a day to be alive." When you lay down that phrase in contrast to all the evil, all the strife, all the wickedness that we know is in this world, and we lay down that little phrase, "What a day to be alive," what opportunities we have. Search and see. Turbulence everywhere. We live in volcanic times. And just because we're not always seeing it in America does not mean that it's not all over the world. Because it is. These volcanic times create history. That's what the history books is full of. Volcanic times, turbulent times, and what happened. One of the church fathers, Polycarp, who was a disciple of the John, Polycarp was born in 65 AD. He was burned at the stake at age 86 because he refused to swear by the fortune of Caesar. He refused to pay homage to Caesar. But even more important, true thanksgiving undergirds us for the future. Perhaps the most remarkable recorded prayers of Jesus is his prayer before the tomb of Lazarus, a man who had been dead 4 days, the sisters reminded Jesus. He prayed to the Father in the past tense as he thanked God for what God was about to do, as though it were already an accomplished fact. Lazarus is lying there dead, but Jesus' prayer makes it seem that he's already alive. "Father, I thank thee that thou heardest me." Already heard him. "And I know that thou hearest me always, but because of the multitude that standeth around, I said, that they may believe that thou dost send me. Our faith can never compare with his, but we do have the promise of God. We thank God for what we know he will do for us. In the material world, science promises us some wonderful things. And the same is true in the realm of general knowledge. If we desire, he will so bless us in the realm of the Spirit. Our stewardship of thanksgiving must be vocal. In Psalm 107, verse 2, let the redeemed of the Lord say so. Speak. Say so. Vocal. If you were to go out of the country, go overseas, take a trip, boat, plane, train, however, when you come back into the country, you have to go through customs. Customs. Do you have anything in your baggage purchased abroad upon which you should pay customs as you bring it into the United States? But the question is interesting, spiritually interpreted also. Have you anything to declare? Well, do you? What is there in your mental and spiritual luggage, the baggage that you carry around every day? What is there in your mental or spiritual luggage to declare? To declare with thanksgiving unto God. Robert Louis Stevenson, great American poet, lived in pain most of his life, was sure that the man who had forgotten to be thankful had fallen asleep in life. This was a philosophy of his. This is part of his thinking. If a person is not thankful, they have fallen asleep in life. How many thousands, how many millions today are walking around in their sleep? That's what the man who is not thankful to God in his heart is doing. It needs to be constant. It needs to be consistent. It needs to be persistent. A thankful heart. Let us be thankful for the lavish beauty of the natural world. There's a good music station, an easy listening station up in the 900s on our spectrum service, 948. Sort of an easy listening station. It's my kind of music, basically. But also, not only just listening to the music, but the beautiful pictures, gorgeous rivers, lakes, mountains, cities. What a beautiful beach. Beautiful pictures and beautiful music that go together. God has lavished beauty upon this world. Let us be thankful that we live in such a heaven blessed land. And let us above all be thankful that Christ is our Savior and our Lord. He's our provider. He's our protector. He's our shield. So many terms that we get out of the Old Testament that apply to our Savior. Let's talk about Thanksgiving. Even though we may look back a few days, maybe there's still a cup of Thanksgiving in your heart that hasn't been emptied yet. And you need to bless the Lord with your thanksgiving. How do we bless the Lord most? By thanks living. By thanks living. To live a life daily, thanking the Lord for His care, His provision, His protection. We just see His hand so frequently, and we say, that's a God thing. That's a God thing. Thank you, Father. Bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. Father, thank you for the Word of God today. Thank you for a simple lesson on thanksgiving and thanks living. Make us, Lord, a thankful people, not griping, complaining, not angry. May we have a proper spirit that lets the world know that we have a happy heart and we have a happy Thanksgiving. Even a merry Thanksgiving that comes from the heart of our Savior and His life within. In Jesus' name, amen.